More now on the list of organizations and individuals included in today's executive order. President Bush froze their assets and called that a strike on the financial foundation of terrorists. Daniel Beiman is research director at the Middle East Center of the RAND Corporation. Mr. Beiman, how would you describe the people and the groups that are on that list?
Almost everyone on the list is either directly associated with bin Laden and his network or one of their favorite clients, one of the groups they've supported most actively.
Any notable absences from the list?
Well, if the list is supposed to be a list of terrorist groups that have a global reach, particularly striking were the absence of groups like Hezbollah or the Tamil Tigers or Hamas in the West Bank and Gaza.
And that tells us what?
I think it tells us that the administration is trying to allow states and groups to turn over a new leaf, if you will. The belief, I think, is that history begins today. And if you're willing to stop supporting terrorism, if you're willing to stop conducting terrorist attacks, the United States is willing to not hold the past against you in the way it has in previous years.
Well, if that's the case, let's sort of trace back from Hezbollah. Does that mean that Syria is being given a chance at a clean slate here?
Well, with Hezbollah in particular, I think both Syria and Iran are being offered a choice, which is they can actively impede U.S. attempts to go after bin Laden and his associates, or they can cooperate. Now, reality, of course, tends to fall in between, and I suspect both Syria and Iran will not support bin Laden openly, but not exactly do Washington's bidding as well.
Same with Hamas?
Hamas is an exception for another reason. Hamas is widely seen in much of the Arab world as a legitimate freedom-fighting organization, particularly in the Gulf states where it has widespread support among almost all sectors of society. So rather than alienate these key members of the coalition, I think the administration is trying to deal with that problem by keeping it off the list and perhaps keeping it silent.
I want to ask you about some of the organizations, or at least one of them that's on this list, the Wafa Humanitarian Organization. It's described in the information I have as a Saudi group with operations that include food distribution and construction of a clinic in Kabul, Afghanistan.
There are several humanitarian aid organizations that have been linked to bin Laden. What he has done and what other rebel Islamist groups have done and terrorist groups have done is used humanitarian organizations as a fundraising conduit.
In addition to being vehicles for raising money and distributing them for terrorist purposes, are these charitable groups actually also delivering vital services to people in these areas?
Certainly, and in places like Afghanistan, Pakistan, Chechnya, Kashmir, social services are non-existent or a complete wreck. So these groups fill a void.
There is an ongoing discussion, a broad discussion in this country and elsewhere, about how broad an effort this fight against terrorism should be. Who are the enemies? From what you see so far, it looks as though the interest is more in a very broad coalition against a narrowly focused target than a broad target.
The hope, I think, is to try to take on what is an extremely difficult task, going after bin Laden, with as many groups and people as possible. Much of this fight will not be fought in Afghanistan, even though that's getting all of the attention. It'll be fought in Egypt, it'll be fought in Jordan, it'll be fought in Yemen, in Central Asia, in Europe. And in all these countries, what we need are allies. We need local police forces, local intelligence forces. So to risk alienating allies at the expense of operations in Afghanistan is a mistake, because going after the network requires working with these allies in their countries.
Dr. Beiman, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Dan Beiman is research director of the Middle East Center at the RAND Corporation.